Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The Arab League plans to send more monitors into Syria, but opposition activists accuse President Bashar Assad's regime of misleading the ones already there by taking them only to areas loyal to the government and even changing street signs. And remember in Alice in Wonderland, paint the roses red? Well, according to activists, regime loyalists are painting military vehicles blue to make them look like police cars. That allows the government to claim it's pulled the military out of heavily populated areas, abiding by the Arab League plan to end the government crackdown on dissent, which the UN estimates has killed more than 5,000 people. Victoria Nuland is a spokesperson for the U.S. State Department.
The violence continues, that it continues very severely. People remain locked up, and that in some cases the regime is actually putting out its own false reports that monitors are on the way. Demonstrators come into the streets and then they fire on them.
Meanwhile, the BBC's Paul Wood reports on Syrian civilians injured in the recent fighting who've been smuggled across the border into Lebanon for treatment.
The crowd chants, "Oh God, please protect the city of Hama." The latest mobile phone footage shows the street protest stronger than ever. People seem to be coming out because of the Arab League monitors. But that means more wounded, many smuggled out to neighbouring Lebanon. At a hospital there, I met Abu Hamza, aged 25, shot by a sniper at a demonstration. I was on the ground for half an hour before anyone could get to me, he says. They started dragging me away, then I was shot again. One of the guys helping me stuck his head up. He was shot in the head. He died instantly. A third man helping me was also hit. What strikes you about talking to people here is that absolutely nobody is prepared to be identified. We've talked to people who want to disguise their voices and give different names. We've filmed people who've covered their faces. And that tells you a lot about the grip that the authorities still have over daily life in Syria. Tell me how you came to be here from the beginning. What happened?
She was getting out of her house and she just saw herself dropping onto the floor. She's saying no, she was shot at the front door of her house.
The city of Homs under fire again. The Syrian authorities have promised the Arab League that peaceful demonstrations will be allowed. But some activists now accuse the League's monitors of providing political cover for the Syrian government to continue repression. Ahmed is a spokesman in Lebanon for the Homs Committee.
The regime has tried to manipulate the work of the monitors from the start. The monitors argue amongst themselves. They are unprofessional and ineffective, and they are mostly documenting what is happening on the ground. But after 10 months, the world doesn't need any more documenting. The pictures we see of what's happening in Syria are vivid.
Long live free Syria, says the song of the Free Syrian Army. On the blood of our martyrs, as God is my witness, we won't back down. The chances of a peaceful end to this are dwindling. The numbers of the Free Army, as they call themselves, soldiers who've changed sides, are growing. One of them, Ahmed Kaman, told me he'd given his allegiance to the rebels only after being injured and captured, and then taken to the hospital in Lebanon, where we met. He was glad to have been captured, he told me, because it freed him from the awful dilemma of having to shoot protesters. Some of us shot in the air, he said, but one of us just refused to shoot at all. He laid his gun on the ground. A security officer killed him then and there. All in all, he said, he'd witnessed more than a dozen summary executions of soldiers who'd refused to shoot protesters. We can't independently verify such allegations, but they go a long way to explaining why the Syrian army has not already split. If that were to happen, everything would change. But for the time being, there remains a bloody stalemate on the street between government and protesters.
That report from the BBC's Paul Wood.